side of the fence. Once I got there, I clambered up and threw a leg over her. She turned for the river the second I was settled astride her. I didn't look back, but I couldn't shake the feeling of him watching me.
Chapter 8. Brody. God damn. I cursed when I woke the next day and glanced to the clock. If I got up, I'd make it for lunch. I was pretty sure I had a folder given to me with the itinerary, and they had times allotted for every meal. I shouldn't have been able to eat. I drank an entire bottle of bourbon last night, but my looks hadn't been the only other genes I inherited from my family. My stomach of steel had come from my uncle, who had been a raging alcoholic. I could inhale an entire pizza with breakfast. Brody? Gail knocked on the outside door. My voice, which was half gurgle, half shout, was not made of steel. Go the fuck away! Pain ripped through my head. For further effect, I reached down, grabbed a shoe, and hurled it across the room. My bedroom was inside the small cabin, but I buried my head back into my pillow. If I heard them, I was hoping they heard me. She added, quieter, I claimed jet lag for your absence this morning, but if you don't get that million-dollar ass out here, I will personally book you a ticket back to Los Angeles. I was at the front door in a flash, reaching for the knob. Pausing, I glanced down. Yes, I had underwear on, and then I ripped open that door. I held up my hands. Gail, I'm so sorry. I would have gotten on my knees if I thought it would help. Real shame laced my veins. I'm an asshole in recovery. She came inside, shutting the door. You're a grieving brother. I don't care about whatever you threw at the door. I care that you missed a breakfast meeting we had scheduled with the producers. Producers? I scratched behind my ear. I thought I met them last night. Not the Kellermans. I meant the production company they're working with on this. What? I was searching my memory. I had faults, but forgetting meetings was not one of them. I had no idea, really. Oh. Her forehead wrinkled again. Maybe I forgot to tell you. Then she waved it all away, shooing me. You're too young for me to ogle anymore. Take a shower and be up in the main house in 20 minutes. Got it? The director will be there, and you better not miss that meeting. The director. Fuck. I nodded, my hand twitching at my side, ready with the salute, too. Got it. She started to leave, but turned back. Oh, hey. Yeah? Kara Troilli is arriving today. Don't fuck the lead actress. Got it? I smirked, but bit my tongue. Not a problem. Her eyes narrowed. You're smirking. Why are you smirking? Huh? Comprehension dawned, and her eyes rolled to the back of her head. Are you kidding me, Brody? You already screwed her, didn't you? 3 times, in fact. I lifted a shoulder. We did a commercial together. It was momentous. Is she going to be a problem? Who haven't you slept with on this movie? I raised an eyebrow, giving her a pointed look. She started laughing as she shook her head. Don't start fluttering those long eyelashes at me. You're a boy, in my opinion. She waved a hand up and down toward me. Your body might be all man, but I view you like one of my kids. That pecker better never harden for me. Got that? She ended with a bark. I did salute her this time. Yes, ma'am. But I was grinning. She said I was all man. It shouldn't matter one bit, but my ego felt a bit stroked. Or maybe it was hearing that she viewed me as one of hers. I scratched the side of my neck. I'll be good, I promise, and don't worry about Kara. She's a hit-it-quit-it type, so I'm sure I was a notch on her bedpost. Aren't you to everyone? She held a hand up, moving through the door. Just keep the pants on, Brody, and you have 15 minutes. The shower was quick. Getting ready was even quicker. I put some gel in my hair, letting it dry messy. The look tended to work on anyone who liked guys. Jeans and a shirt were next. I didn't put on anything super trendy, just simple. When I left the cabin, I knew I was the vision of a celebrity. It was what they hired me to be, so it was the mask I wore for them. Brody. Kellerman approached when I stepped inside the house. Matthew. I shook his hand, and recognizing the woman next to him, I nodded. Shanna Michaels, hello. It's great to see you. The director was in her 40s, had sandy-colored hair, alert blue eyes, and the same attitude I felt from Gail. She was no-nonsense and whip-smart. At least that was her reputation. She seemed it in person, too. She shook my hand, a slight grin tugging at her mouth as if she thought I was being funny. We've met before, Brody. Have you forgotten? Did I sleep with her? No, I would have remembered. Then I did. The audition, yes. Before that, as well. Maybe I had slept with her. She said, you hit on me at a premiere party. I stilled. Not good. Not good at all. Shit. I held up my hands. I'm sorry, she laughed. Don't worry. It didn't go further than that. I knew I'd want you on one of my movies one day. She caught my hand in a surprisingly strong grip and leaned in close before she murmured in my ear so no one could hear. But if you weren't such a damned gifted actor, I would have taken you up on that weekend offer. Great. Fuck. I used to be professional. At some point. I'll take that as a compliment, then. She leaned back, her eyes twinkling in amusement. You should. And we should get down to business. We have the table read scheduled for today. Kara will be arriving shortly. Matthew was rolling up the sleeve of his shirt. Khaki shorts. Loafer sandals. A slightly pink button-down shirt. He looked like the epitome of every Harvard jackass. Did you sleep well, Brody? Once I passed out. Yes, I did. You? He hesitated before clipping his head in a nod. Of course. This mountain air tends to calm me. Always has. Interest stirred in me. You lived here when you were a kid? No. He began scanning the room. When I was a teenager, and even then, it was only for a few years. When Karen died, we mostly all moved away. Mostly? The image of that girl running away flashed in my mind again. I'd been sitting on the second-floor patio last night, toasting Kyle, when a flash of movement had drawn my attention as it streaked across the field in front of me. It was only after I watched her run to the fence that I realized a horse was there. I was starting to wonder if the girl was a ghost. Maybe Kyle was messing with me, making me see shit lately. Who's the we? He stopped scanning, freezing a moment before looking back at me. His eyes were clearer than before. What? You said we, mostly. Who else was here? He held my gaze steady, unblinking. He kept it tight to the vest, more so than others, but I knew this guy was close to shitting his pants. An unnatural smile broke over his face, giving him a plastic look. My siblings and I. Peter kept the house, but we all moved back to Livingston and then to L.A. later. Not Dad, Peter. That was interesting. How old were you when it happened? It. What did they say when they referred to their stepmother's murder? Matthew waited a beat. I was 16 when Karen was murdered. His Adam's apple moved up and down as he swallowed. He coughed, clearing his throat. The twins were 14 then, and he stopped himself. I found myself leaning toward him. He was about to say something else, maybe add someone else to the equation. That girl? There was a story there. She was someone to him, someone to this place. I didn't think I was seeing a ghost. Or hell, maybe I was. I'd already gotten called out for hitting on my director. I was pretty sure I'd been wasted at that party. Play along? Keep my trap shut? Make sure I didn't land myself in another heap of trouble? Looking over, I saw Gail watching us as she ignored Abby and a girl from the crew who were talking next to her. As if knowing what I was thinking, she moved her head from side to side. It was so slow the girls with her didn't notice, but I did. And I knew what she was saying. Yep, got it. Keep my fucking mouth shut. So, I smiled and said the most generic thing I could think of. How about that weather you guys have here, huh?
Chapter 9. Morgan. 1 week later. I was stretched out on my back on top of Shiloh. The sun beat down on us, but there was a slight breeze that broke up the heat. The sky was bright blue with cotton candy-like clouds. Shiloh's head was bent so she could graze. Her mane was half my pillow, the bottom of her neck the other. My feet were crossed over each other, resting on top of her back end as the rest of the horses were around us. This was a favorite pastime of mine. I slept while Shiloh ate, and if I weren't sleeping, I'd let my mind wander as I watched the clouds. Yes, I was usually content if I was with Shiloh or Shoal, but sometimes I got bored. Those were the days I'd venture to the neighbor's house 7 miles away, or even farther down to see what was going on in the local small town. The trip there and back would usually take a few days. There were other times when I'd lay high above the highway. I could feel the breeze against my hair and skin, and watch the birds fly below me. Every once in a while, tourists would come along, see the eagles or a bear or even a moose. They'd stop and take pictures, their excited shouts ricocheting up to me. They never saw me. They never looked high enough, and if they had, I would pull back beyond their eyesight. The best days were spent at a nearby watering hole. It was shallow enough that it warmed quickly. I loved being there. And other days, if I was more bored than usual, I'd go to the house. I'd try to pretend to be human. But then weird feelings would move up inside me, feelings that I didn't know how to handle. So once that happened, I'd go back to Shiloh. I knew it didn't make sense to others, but it was my life. It was my world. It was the way I made sense of the senseless. But today, I did none of those things. Today, I thought of him. As the days wore on, as they continued to make their movie, he kept showing up in my thoughts. I'd gone back a few times just to watch. One time, I left the barn to sneak into his cabin to watch him sleep. He'd been restless, tossing and turning, a bottle of alcohol on the floor next to his bed within reaching distance. Every time I watched him, he had one of those bottles keeping him company, but no one else. Feeling a stirring in my chest, I always thought I would find a woman with him. But I never did. I tried telling myself I didn't care. I thought he had caught me the time I snuck in. His eyes had fluttered open, and he had lifted his head, a sleepy groan escaping his parted lips.
What?
He had shaken his head, but the alcohol took control over him again, and his eyelids weighed heavy. His deep breathing told me he fell asleep the next instant. I smiled to myself, remembering that night. Alcohol and sweat filled the room, but there was another smell. It was manly, somewhat pine-scented, but it was him. I'd been around enough people to know each person had their own smell, and I liked it. I liked him. I might be only half from this world, and Matthew said he was the star, but he was different. He wasn't like the others. He was more. He commanded more. He demanded more. There was a sizzle in the air around him. It wasn't just me that he affected. I watched the females. He affected all of them, too, even the older ones. It might not have been in the same way, but he still drew them to him. One gray-haired lady looked after him like a mother. Another female, who was always barking at people, pointing around as she stood by the cameras, had a fondness for him. Her voice was softer, more patient with him. I lifted my hands, holding his shirt as I buried my head in it. I breathed him in again. I'd have to take it back and swipe another. His smell was fading, being replaced with Shiloh's and mine. But until then, I draped it over my chest. It had come to be my favorite blanket. The stallion whinnied at that moment, and everyone looked at him. Grazing was over.
Chapter 10. Brody. Cut! We were filming on the back of the river in a valley between the Kellerman's Mountain and the other. There was a clearing on our side, giving us enough space to comfortably set everything up, but trees and vegetation filled the other bank. Higher on the adjacent mountain was a clearing like ours. I found myself looking up every now and then, wondering if I'd catch a glimpse of the girl. Then again, that had been the theme for me over the last 2 weeks. Everywhere we went on the Kellerman's lands, I always wondered if she was out there, if she was watching, if she was with her horse, if I'd get another glimpse of her. A hand fell down, grazing over my groin, and I stiffened. "Oh, sorry." Kara laughed, but her hand came back for another rub. She didn't sound sorry. We'd been filming the last scene for the 20th time, and Kara kept forgetting her words. Normally, I wouldn't care. This was part of the job, but it was a scene where I had to keep shoving my tongue down her throat. Every time she slipped up, her hand fell to my ass and she'd squeeze, pressing against me. I was half grinding against a woman. My dick was up, but it wasn't her in my head when we were kissing. It wasn't her body rubbing against mine. It was the damned ghost that had been plaguing my dreams and thoughts since I'd gotten to this place. I could have sworn she had been in my room one night, but when I woke, there'd been no evidence she'd been there. The doors were all locked, and no window was left open. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling she'd been there. Shanna's hands cupped around her mouth as she yelled, "That's a wrap! Start taking everything down. We move locations tonight." "Thank God," Kara pretended to pout, her slim body leaning into mine. Her hand traced down my arm. "If you want, we could take this back to your place." The diva was given her own cabin, like me. They thought she'd want privacy. Apparently, it had been too far away for her to walk every day. She demanded to be moved, and she'd been given the master bedroom instead. I grinned down at her. Not a chance in hell. My hands went to her arms, and I shoved her away, one clean push to get her body off mine. I turned to leave. "Ass." I paused, but then let it go. I'd spoken too quickly to Gail. Kara was a problem, and I had a feeling she was going to continue to be until I shoved my prick into her. She'd been breathing down my neck, and her hands had been trying to rub my groin since she arrived for the table read. "Brody," I was walking past the director when she waved me over. She was standing a few feet away from the camera crew. "Yeah?" "Are you fucking Kara?" I gave her a sharp look. "No." She raised a disbelieving eyebrow. "Come on." "I'm not." "She's damned near molesting you. Has been this whole time." I grimaced. The feel of her hand brushing against me came back to me. "I'll deal with it." "You shouldn't have to. That's what I'm saying. If you aren't sleeping with her, I'm assuming it's because you don't want to. Am I wrong?" I gave her a crooked grin, tapping the side of my head. "Shit's kinda messed up here right now. Sleeping with my co-star isn't something I can take on." "About your brother?" I caught a twinge of pity in her eyes. I nodded. "You could say that." I was keeping company with all sorts of ghosts lately. Girls, Kyle. I didn't need to add any more regrets to the list. "Well," she sighed, glancing over to where Kara was glaring our way. Her assistant was next to her, trying to talk to her. "If that's an issue you want help resolving, let me know." A scream cut her off. We both turned, but the sound of stampeding hooves drowned out any other screams. Everyone froze. High up on the clearing on the other mountain, the horses were sprinting from one side to the other. Even with the river and tree line between us and them, we had a panoramic view of the creatures. The stallion, which stood a few hands taller than the size of the rest of the herd, was pure white, except for two black spots on his back end. "Oh, whoa." Shanna stepped closer to them, snapping her fingers. "Carl, get that camera out. Get those horses on it." He nodded, swinging his lens around. "On it." Everyone was watching the horses, their mouths hanging open, but I was looking for her. She must be with him. Unless... I glanced to the trees above the horses. No. I looked at the tree line on the other side of the river. No. I didn't see her. I looked back to the herd. They were almost past us and would be out of eyesight soon. I was studying each one, but they were going so fast. Then, there. I saw the gray mare she'd been riding the first night, but she wasn't on her. No. A foot. I almost laughed aloud. Her foot was the only thing visible, resting on top of the mare's back. She was riding on the side of her, hidden from sight. It happened so fast that, by the time I turned, they were already gone. Everyone just seemed stunned. I didn't hear any questions about the girl or the foot.
God damn,
Shanna swore under her breath.
There's a herd of Mustangs. Kellerman should have told me that.
He didn't? She looked at me sharply. You knew? They almost took out our car on the first night. I thought he cleared them with you. Her jaw firmed and she ground out,
No, he didn't clear anything with me.
She pointed to where the horses had appeared. There was no fence between us and them. If they had veered this way, someone could have been trampled. She gripped her radio, lifting it to her mouth as she pressed the side button. I want a 20 on Kellerman. She let go. The radio crackled. Someone responded. He went into town for a meeting. Shanna pressed down on her button. Then I want to know the second he's back, not a minute later. A crackle. On it. She gazed up at the clearing again, studying it before she motioned for Carl. Did you get the footage? He nodded, lowering the camera back to the ground. A good 6 seconds, I think. Fine. She waved her radio in the air. Pack up, wait for instructions. We might be changing locations for the night. Different from where we were supposed to be? One of the crew asked.
Yeah.
She swung those keen eyes my way. I could see the steam coming from her ears as she formulated a new plan. Is there anything else I should be made aware of? Hey, I flashed her a grin, one that usually worked to loosen the panties. I assumed you knew. I'm only an actor. She cursed, rolling her eyes.
Wipe that grin off your face. I already told you we aren't going to fuck.
I know, boss. She laughed softly, shaking her head.
You're a lot smarter and with it than you let people see, Brody Asher. Don't think I'm one of those girls who will fall for your tricks.
She pointed her radio at me as she began to walk backward. You said it. I'm your boss. For a reason. I salute my manager sometimes. I can add you to that list if you'd like. She barked out a laugh before turning and walking back toward the main lodge.
Didn't realize you were funny, Brody.
I was a whole lot more than that. She could add crazy to the list, too. Chapter 11 Brody Shanna was upset about the whole Mustang situation, so everything was put on hold. She claimed there needed to be litigation about safety zoning and a whole bunch of other legal and technical issues. All I knew was that we got a night free from shooting. Most of the crew went into town to drink at the bars, and while I'd normally be on board, I found myself heading down a walking path instead. I was alone. I could hear the soft sounds of a river just ahead, and I thought I really had lost my mind. I was pretty sure because while my boss was livid about the safety risks of a herd of Mustangs in the area, I was hoping to run across them tonight. Not them, her. So when the path came to the river, when I could hear it around the corner, I paused for a moment. Thousands of women wanted me in their bed, and I stood there like a nervous seventh grader for fuck's sake. I was embarrassed for myself, and rolling my eyes, I stepped around. I didn't expect her to be there. Why would she? Kellerman told me the horses ran over more than 100 acres, but dear God, there she was. Standing on the other side of the bank, she was running a hand through her hair. I was entranced. Jesus. She was like a goddess. It was like out of a cheesy movie scene. The moonlight sparkled on her golden hair. There were some darker strands that I saw now, too. A slight mist was in the air, settled over the river and pooling around her feet. The only thing that was different was her clothing. There was no long, flowing dress. She wore what any other woman would have worn, just a sweatshirt and jeans that were snug on her. She'd rolled them up so they ended above her knees, and when she moved back, I saw she wore regular sneakers. They were the kind used for hiking, which made sense. Christ. I almost laughed at myself. I'd been so convinced she was a ghost. You're a real person. I hadn't realized I spoke until her head jerked up. Her eyes found me and she began to turn away. Don't! I started for her, my hand in the air, but I forced myself to stop. I'd spook her for sure then. When she didn't move any farther, I softened my voice and added, Please don't. This was surreal. When I saw she still wasn't leaving, I took a step closer, lowering my hand. I'm Brody. I'm working here in a movie. Her eyes widened, but she lifted her head to fully look at me. The flight instinct was waning toward curiosity. I could see how her lips parted, and she moved a strand of hair out of her way to see me better. Her eyes narrowed, and her head tilted up questioningly. You're famous. Yeah. Again, thousands of women swooned over me. This girl had me stuttering. After clearing my throat, I said, Can I ask, just so I know for myself, but are you a fucking ghost? Shit. What if she was one of those girls who was proper like? I raked my hand through my hair. I mean, are you? Yeah. Anyway, I sliced it. Even taking out the curse word, I still sounded nuts. She laughed. She was laughing. Once she started, she couldn't stop. The sound came out of her in waves, and then she was shaking her head. I found myself smiling, but I didn't know why. Oh, man. She wiped at her eyes, her laughter beginning to fade. I haven't laughed like that for a while. Yeah? I was an idiot for feeling proud of that. Yep, I even had a boner like I used to walk around with in junior high. What was next? Fucking wet dreams again? I made a mental note to lay off the bourbon at night. I gentled my smile, ducking my head a little. I'm glad. I was flirting with her. I wasn't ashamed. I was going to reel her in because, damn it, I needed her in a way I didn't fully comprehend. She laughed again. Thank you. That was nice. Can I ask what your name is? She swallowed, her eyes widening again. I didn't think she was going to answer. Then, so softly I almost didn't hear it, she whispered, Morgan. Morgan, I nodded to myself. And to be clear, just so I don't think I'm going crazy, you're not a ghost, right? No. A few more chuckles. Her smile came back. I'm not a ghost. I just spend a lot of time with horses. A lot. I grunted, I figured. She nodded, falling silent. I was searching for my next question, but I didn't want to overwhelm her. I didn't want to scare her away. Then she surprised me when she spoke next. Do you have a girlfriend? What? My own eyes widened. Her words clicked in again. A girlfriend? No. Fuck yes, she wanted to know. She was interested. I had hope. I added, I'm all alone. And yeah, that made me sound pathetic. This chick would think I was a loser. She'd run as fast as she could, and she could run faster than most. She had a freaking horse to do it for her. That would be a new low. A girl running away from me on a horse. You drink a lot. My head moved back. What? She pointed to where my cabin was. You drink a lot, every night. A goddamn smile was stretching on my face. I couldn't stop it. Are you watching me? She shook her head. I can smell it. Oh, that was new. I gulped. Really? Another small laugh, and she nodded. Yeah. She touched her nose. I have better smell than normal people. Not the best way to impress someone. I could only shake my head. I don't even know how to respond to that. Yeah. Honesty, it was going to be. I do drink a lot. Do you have a problem? My eyes narrowed again. There was no judgment from her, just curiosity. This girl wasn't normal, which was a realization that hit me smack in the chest. I knew already, but it was just resonating throughout me more and more. God. I couldn't let her slip through my fingers, but I had a feeling that was what this girl did to everyone. No, but I shouldn't go as hard as I have been. Why? I frowned. Why should I not drink as much? Why do you drink so much? I scratched behind my ear. My brother died about 8 months ago. I was on the phone with him when it happened. I was going for broke. It messed me up real bad.
But you're an actor? That's what you do for a job?
Yeah.
So you're working. That's good. You're not so messed up that you can't keep a job.
I frowned at her, then cracked a grin. Are you Dr. Filling Me? She frowned this time.
What is that?
She lived with horses. Nothing, stupid joke. I shook my head and tugged at my collar. Did it suddenly get hot out here? My manager got me to do this movie, so here I am, acting, doing my job. Sounding lame yet again. She took a step toward me, bringing her feet almost into the river.
I don't know what a doctor filling is. Is that something to drink?
I barked out a laugh and then stopped right away. I didn't want her to think I was laughing at her. He's a psychologist or psychiatrist, whichever one, and he has his own show. He counsels people on television. Understanding dawned in her eyes, but she stepped back, her feet pulling farther away from the river.
I know what a counselor is.
I wanted to ask how she knew. The question was burning on my tongue, but it was the same thing. If I pushed too much, would she run? I didn't want that. I so didn't want that. Oh, fuck it. I was going for it. So we've established that I'm somewhat of a drunk, and it's because of my brother's death. I gestured to those woods again. Can I ask about you? It's the elephant in the room. She looked around.
We're not in a room. There's no elephant here.
It's a phrase. Shit. I was going too far. I needed to pull back. Nothing. Sorry. I saw a faint grin. She was teasing me. She asked,
Are you trying to ask me why I spend so much time with the horses?
Yeah. She shrugged, looking away.
It makes more sense to be with them.
Really? She nodded, turning back to me.
Don't you feel like that? You're here instead of being with the others up there?
She gestured toward the main lodge. They all went to the bars tonight, and again I was going for it. I took a walk tonight, hoping to see you. She continued to look at me. She didn't break her gaze or even blink. Then she grinned, two soft dimples showing.
You're flirting with me.
Damn straight. Her mouth parted a little.
When people flirt, are they this honest about it?
God, no. I rubbed a hand over my face. Gail would have been laughing her ass off at me if she were watching. The girl was calling me on everything. There's usually some innuendos, but nothing so out and out.
Innuendos?
Yeah, where the message is implied but not so explicitly said.
Ah, yes.
Her smile was fading, but it still lingered a bit longer. The wrinkles around her mouth remained.
I'd forgotten about that. I don't talk to people.
Like, ever?
As little as I can.
She shook her head.
Talking to people seems pointless to me.
Holy fuck. There were so many questions I wanted to ask just off that one statement. I refrained. People wanted to know my business, and I was always turned off. I couldn't bombard the girl.
I get it. I do.
She grinned again, and this time I had the distinct impression she was laughing at me.
You do? You have a band of horses that's taken you in, too?
Yeah. I didn't remember the last time I'd smiled like this, maybe when I was a kid. Don't think you're so special. My herd is made up of all stallions. Take that. All stallions. How many times does that work out? She stared at me and then peeled over in laughter the next second. This girl. This female. This woman. I wasn't even sure which I was dealing with, but she humbled me. She wasn't talking to me with an agenda. She didn't want something from me. She didn't see me with dollar signs in her eyes or her next acting gig already lined up. She was pure. She was innocent. And she had no idea how rare she was. I felt stupidly little in that moment. She was what every person wanted to find in life. When she noticed I was looking at her weird, she quieted, a small chuckle slipping out,
but she hid it behind a hand. Sorry, just... She looked to the ground. No one's made that kind of joke to me before.
How many jokes did she hear? Who did make her laugh? How did they do that? But I couldn't ask her that. That was too much, too quick. Keep it cool and classy and not so desperate. God damn, I was desperate. I was desperate in a way that I didn't even realize until I saw her up close and in person. I shoved my hands into my pockets, more to hold myself back than anything else, and dropped my voice low. Can I ask you a personal question?
What?
Her laughter started to subside. I felt a tug. I didn't want that to happen. Can I ask who you are? Who's your family? Why are you out here? She stared at me. That same deer in the headlights look coming back to her. I shouldn't have. I'd be cursing myself as soon as she left, but she never bolted. The silence stretched. My question hanging between us, and I was counting my blessings that I hadn't scared her off. Yet. I didn't expect her to answer. I was thinking of something else to say, anything to keep her there when I heard,
I have family. Kind of.
Yeah? Hope slammed into my chest. Hope like I'd never felt before. It sped my heart up. What do you mean? She looked down, kicking at the river with her toe.
My mom died. A long time ago.
Her mom? Was it? But it was. It had to be. The realization punched me in the stomach. It clicked in place. Was your mom's name Karen? She nodded, gesturing toward the main lodge again.
It's why you're here, isn't it? How she died?
Her eyebrows pulled together. She was frowning so hard that I ached to go over and smooth it out. She added quietly,
Matthew told me they changed the movie so she doesn't die, but she did.
Holy. I couldn't move for a moment. Fucking. No way. Shit. It was. This girl was a sibling, one who wasn't known to anyone. My heart was beating fast, but I kept my voice smooth and controlled. What do you mean? She rubbed behind her ear before bending, picking up a stone, and tossing it into the river. She watched it sink to the bottom.
He said it was going to be a happily ever after movie.
She paused a beat.
He said I wasn't in the movie either.
Her eyes were back on me. Judging, studying.
You can't tell.
It was an accusation and a request at the same time. I breathed out harshly. I won't say a goddamn word, I promise. I meant it. I meant every single word, every single syllable.
My mom died because...
She stopped talking and glanced behind her. I thought she'd look back, resume whatever she was going to say, but she didn't. She held still, staring into the dark woods. A few seconds stretched to 30, then a minute, and then 2. I waited for what felt like a full 3 minutes before she looked back to me. An apology was in her eyes as she stepped back toward the trees. She said,
I'm sorry,
before she was gone. She vanished. It happened in the blink of an eye. I strained to hear, but there wasn't even so much as a twig snapping under her feet. There was no pounding of hooves, either. She was there, and then gone. And despite my earlier questions, I was left standing there, unsure if I'd just had a conversation with the ghost or not. Chapter 12. Brody. I was up. I was early. I was not bright. Gail put her plate, which held a scone and 2 apples next to me, her coffee next. I was tempted to grab the coffee, but I knew she'd smack the back of my head, and that was only if she didn't pour the coffee on my lap. I sighed, scooting back my chair as she was pulling hers in. I need caffeine.
Okay,
I heard her mutter as I walked toward the breakfast buffet table. I was reaching for the styrofoam cups when Kara sidled up next to me, a single strawberry on her plate.
Hey.
It sounded a bit breathless, and I watched her as I poured the coffee. I didn't break eye contact, judging from the feel of the heat before I turned off the spout. Putting the lid on my cup, I pointed at her face. You've got the sultry smile on this morning. It isn't going to happen.
The what?
She eyed the coffee pot longingly before following me back to my table. I went back to my seat next to Gail. The only seat open was across from my manager, and Kara took it, eyeing Gail for a few seconds before she sat. Pointing at her face again, I said, I know your smiles. I know you name your smiles, too.
I do not.
She started to look horrified. You do. I picked up a piece of toast. I've even seen you practice your smiles, and it's not happening.
What's not happening?
Her strawberry was beginning to look lonely. She was ignoring it. You, me, put the sultry smile away.
What? Come on.
She let out a nervous giggle, reaching up to pat her hair.
I don't know what's going on right now.
Fuck it. I speared her strawberry. Gail spoke up as I did, saying,
He's rejecting you, honey. What?
Another one of the actors, the one sitting across from me, joined the conversation. Do you guys know what's going on with the movie? Shanna's been in meetings all night, and this morning she blew a gasket about that herd of horses last night, a third member said as she joined us. Really? The woman nodded to the other actor. I should know their names. This wasn't me being an arrogant ass or thinking I was better than them. I just mainly had screen time with Kara. I had learned early on that if I got close to the secondary actors, they assume I'd help them become better than I was. Every time I corrected their assumption, it never went well. Gail said I could choose softer words, but the message had to be hard or it wasn't going to resonate. I like to go for broke in those situations. Hell, I sighed to myself. Maybe I just liked being an asshole. I narrowed my eyes. Did I?
What are you doing?
What? It was the second actor who asked me that question. Kara had been watching me, and she grunted, hiding a smile before she looked down at her plate.
Hey!
She slapped the table.
Where's my strawberry?
It was on the end of my fork. I popped it into my mouth and shrugged. Maybe it fell. She groaned, rolling her eyes upward before getting up from the table and stalking back to the breakfast buffet. The second and third actors were still watching me. All right. He asked what I was doing. I countered him with, What are you doing? Huh? I raised my eyebrows. Exactly. The third actor's eyebrows pulled down, causing a crease in her perfect, marble-smooth skin. I looked more closely at her. She had the beauty to be a lead actress. What's your role?
My real name is Kelly. I play the sister.
Karen had a sister? I made a note to ask Morgan about that. Then the actress said,
Technically, I'm your sister. We haven't shot those scenes yet.
Oh, Peter had a sister. Do we get along in the script? Gail's head moved back an inch. I could feel her disapproval.
I thought you memorized the script.
I memorized my scenes in the script, and I turned to my on-screen sister. We don't have any together.
We do, but not till the end. There are some phone conversations, and I comfort you when you think Karen is dead.
Do you like Karen? She started laughing, shaking her head.
God, no. My character hates the bitch.
She motioned between us.
It doesn't go over well for you and me.
As if on cue, the Kellermans walked into the dining area. Shanna was behind them, steam coming from her ears. As the siblings went to the breakfast buffet, Shanna bypassed everyone and left the room, sweeping outside. I locked eyes on each Kellerman in turn, wondering how much was truth and how much wasn't. The aunt hating Karen made sense. That rang like something true, but I still wanted to know. Was there a real aunt? Did she hate Morgan's mom? Did she hate Morgan? The whole secrecy about Morgan, knowing she was out there, knowing how much she was out there, made me feel as if a lot of the script was off. I wanted her there, but at the same time, I didn't. I wanted to know her, but I may never see her again. She was like watching a masterpiece being painted by a painter. You knew the outcome would be breathtaking, but you had to sit back and let the painter do his thing. And I was officially a pussy with that last thought. I grabbed my coffee and shoved back my chair.
Where are you going?
Gail asked. Somewhere I didn't feel like such a pussy. I shrugged. I want to run over some lines.
You want company?
I turned, feeling my jaw clench. No. The Kellermans looked up as I walked past. I was heading to my cabin when I heard someone behind me. The gravel crunched under a shoe and I looked back. Matthew held his hands up. I come in peace. He glanced back over his shoulder, putting his hands into his pockets. I noticed you take off from breakfast. Is everything okay? No, no, buddy. I knew what he was doing. I read through his bullshit. It had been a guess before, but I goddamn knew. He wanted to know if I knew about Morgan. I was hoping to see Morgan. I narrowed my eyes, watching for his reaction. I promised her I wouldn't tell, but this guy already knew. I wasn't breaking that promise, and I had a strong feeling he was going to dog my movements anyway, just from suspecting I might know. I do. Deal with it, fucker. He blanched, then gulped, and then narrowed his eyes. I see. Did he now? A snide voice commented in my head. She's the stepsister, right? His eyes rounded. You have met her. We had a nice long conversation last night. I heard the disbelief in his laugh and added, down by the river. His laugh died. He grew serious again. I see. That damn phrase again from him. She's under the impression she's a secret. My question is, why? He started laughing again, saw I meant what I said, and his lips pressed together. Are you kidding me? It'd be a field day for the media if they found out Karen Kellerman's daughter still lives in the mountains and with horses. She'd be a laughingstock, and you know it. Would you want that for her? His eyes were almost slits. And how is it your business? The second she told me who she was, it became my business. Let me guess. He rolled his shoulders back, shaking his head. Hollywood it guy, who's used to getting all the women he wants, has met someone who isn't falling at his feet, and he's intrigued. She probably ran from you, didn't she? I shrugged. That wasn't his business. He laughed again, almost scornfully. Yeah. The thing is that I know Morgan. He stepped toward me, lowering his voice. If you think I'm going to stand back and let you try to sweep her off her feet, you have another think coming. I can already see your intentions from a mile away. I looked between us. Pretty sure there's 10 feet between us. You know what I mean. From my point of view, you're the one embarrassed by her, not me. This went from 1 to 8 on the intensity scale. We were a few words away from squaring off and proclaiming ourselves enemies, but the problem was that we both knew where the other stood. I saw the possessive need in him. It was the same look my dad had in his eyes when he drank. The fucker was an abusive drunk before he died, just like his brother, and it hadn't been a good time. He wanted to control everyone. Matthew Kellerman had that look. She might be his stepsister, but he thought he controlled her, or he wanted to control her. And though I cared about her already and wanted her, all I felt right then was this insane need to protect her. The last time my gut flared up like this was when I was waiting for Kyle at my awards show. He gritted his teeth. I'm not embarrassed about my sister. I love her, and I do what's in her best interest. She has kept a secret for a reason. She was at the river last night. She's been around. I've seen her 4 different times. If I have, trust me when I say that others will, if they haven't already. It's a matter of time. He lifted his head, his Adam's apple moving up. Is that a threat? What? Are you threatening to tell everyone about her? I shifted back on my heels as anger slammed through me. Christ, I wanted to punch him. No. And don't you fucking dare try to turn that around on me. I promised her I wouldn't say anything. I'm talking to someone who already knows about her. His head lowered, and his voice quieted as he said, "She asked you to keep her a secret?" I nodded. Which I think is the stupidest idea ever. Shanna's going to find out eventually. I remembered the fury on her face this morning. You think she's pissed about the horses? She's going to be livid about Morgan. A herd of wild mustangs is a safety factor. They never cross the fences, and them crossing the street in front of your car was a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence. That'll never happen again. That stallion hates humans. He puts up with Morgan. No, she's mad about the safety issues, but I assured her there are none. She won't be mad about my sister. His stepsister. I kept the need to correct him to myself. Instead saying, she'll be pissed that you kept information from her, and she'll be even more mad because Morgan wasn't written into the script. It hit me then. That was why he was keeping Morgan a secret. He was right. As I said those words, I knew they were true. Shanna would want to put Morgan into the movie. It would take the script from silver to gold, even though she already thought it was as good as she could get. Right now, the movie was an inspirational memoir to the loving memory of Karen Kellerman, the last wife of the man who ran a global franchise of Kellerman Hotels. Put in the surviving daughter who lives with wild mustangs, and forget a movie that might win some awards. She'd have a goddamn blockbuster. It would kill at the theaters if it were all done right. But Morgan's life would never be the same. She couldn't be reclusive with the herd anymore. No matter what, people would come to find her. They'd want to see her. Matthew was watching me as if he could read my thoughts. Yeah, you're getting it now, aren't you? A spark lit my anger again, even though I didn't know which one of us it was directed at, him or me. If you don't want Shanna to know, get the whole crew moved into the city. Get them out of here. They're going to see her. They aren't looking for her. My sister is like a ghost. If she wants to stay hidden, she will be. I saw her 4 times. She wanted... He bit off his own words, as if he were being forced to swallow something foul. You're right. I don't know the other times, but I can say that if you saw her last night at the river, it was because she wanted you to see her. She didn't know I was there. She has instincts like a deer. Deer can be snuck up on. His eyes went wide again in frustration, and he flung out his hands. What do you want me to say? Shanna's already looking for reasons to sue. Not disclosing the herd was a breach of contract. I do one more thing like sending the whole crew to the city, and she'll blow a gasket. It's better than Morgan being found. He gripped the back of his neck, his fingers holding tight while he seemed lost in thought. Then he let loose a long, drawn-out breath of air. Fuck. He raised an eyebrow at me. I can tell her there's something wrong with the main house, which would make it easier to send everyone into town, but what about you? I'm the only one not in the house. I shrugged, knowing I was coming off smug and not giving one shit about that. Your siblings need to use the other cabins, but everyone else needs to relocate. I smirked. For their safety. Your manager will probably want to stay in your cabin then. She can try. It's a 2-story cabin. Your main living quarters is on the 2nd floor, but there's a bedroom on the 1st. It makes no sense that no one wouldn't move in there. He was right. The cabin was a little fucked up, but I liked it when I saw it. I need my privacy. Shanna has to go into town too, both of them. God damn. Matthew lifted his head, looking out over the fields. You know what's funny? We have the regular horses coming tomorrow. We even had to get a new door and lock, make sure everything's extra secure so the stallion doesn't steal any of the mares. He flicked a hand toward the barn. Those stalls are going to be full of domestic horses. Morgan will start showing up because she'll want to check on them and make sure they are cared for. That's just how she is. Perfect timing, then. He threw me a harried look, the side of his face grimacing. Stay away from my sister. I felt his warning low in my gut. I ignored it and threw my own challenge back in his face. So, no more late-night walks to the river? I gave him a wry smile. I can't guarantee she'll stay away from me. He turned to stare at me. All pretenses were gone. I wasn't backing the fuck down. Chapter 13. Matthew.
Crossing into his office, he could hear the crew in the house, but he was still reeling from his last conversation. Brody Asher, a goddamn Hollywood male diva. He knew the excitement the females and a few of the males had about this star. He could have anyone, but he had his hooks in Morgan. Fury started boiling over inside him, and Matthew reached for the armrests on his chair. He wanted to throw the thing across the room. He wanted to trash every piece of furniture in his office, but he really wanted to smack either one of the main reasons this movie would get any attention. The director was one reason. Asher was the other. His name would draw all the attention. Kara was easy on the eyes, but she wasn't Brody Asher. A growl erupted from him, and he shot back up, stalking to the other side of his office.
What the hell is going on?
Abby was in the doorway, her mouth slightly hanging open. She had changed into a sundress and was fixing the ties around her neck. She added,
You okay?
He only grunted. He wasn't mad at Abby. He didn't want to take it out on her.
Okay.
She sounded resigned, stepping in and closing the office door behind her. All the sounds from the crew were muted to a low murmur.
What's going on?
Asher knows about Morgan.
Ugh.
He turned to continue pacing, but stopped at the window. His hands were on his hips, and he stared out beyond the barn to the field she always ran toward. He couldn't see her, but she was out there. She really was like a ghost.
Say what?
Abby came to stand next to him. He let out a deep pocket of air. He knows about her. He's talked to her, even. That same gargle sounded again, coming out like a wheeze from her. Reaching up, he patted her on the back, but he never turned away from the view. He knew it was ridiculous. Morgan could hear a cricket moving on a blade of grass yards away. Matthew knew Morgan heard Asher and made the decision to stay. She's talking to him. Him, not Matthew, not one of her family members. No, she was talking to this stranger who had a reputation for being an asshole. A sick feeling spread through him. He already knew what was going to happen. He wanted to stop it. He wanted to bar the asshole from his lands, from Morgan, but it was too late. If he did, the asshole would seek her out anyway. He couldn't control Morgan either. God knew that he'd been trying. Abby touched his arm, both comforting and seeking comfort.
That's good, isn't it? That she's talking to someone?
Of course, Abby would see it that way. He wanted Morgan back, so did Abby, and his sister wouldn't care how that happened. But he wanted to be the one, not some Hollywood bad boy type. Asher didn't deserve her, not one bit. Yeah. Matthew grasped her hand, covering it with his so he could pull her to him. Dipping his head down to rest against the side of hers, he said gruffly, Unless he hurts her and she's gone forever, then. He heard her swift intake of breath, but she murmured almost calmly a second later,
We'll just have to make sure that doesn't happen, or that we'll be there for her.
Her hand squeezed his arm.
But she's talking to someone, Matt. That's good.
It was. It wasn't. It was the wrong person she was talking to. Yeah. A knife was in his belly, protruding out, but he didn't know whose hand was attached to it. Asher's or Morgan's? He said to Abby, It's a good thing.
Chapter 14 Morgan I didn't know what I was doing. Shiloh was behind me, eating leaves from the underside of trees. But we were off on our own. I was standing in the woods, watching. That was what I was doing. Watching. Being curious. Not understanding why. I didn't think about others. I cared for my siblings, but they had left. When Karen died, they had left. All of them. I had staff, who acted as my guardians, and teachers for my homeschooling. But the people I'd come to consider family were gone. Peter Kellerman went back to his businesses. Matthew, Finn, and Abby returned to their private schools. I hadn't been given a choice to go with them or not. I got a new sister when Shiloh was born. She and Shoal were my family. Then they came back that day. Car after car, All of them were there, even Peter. My mother used to melt and get a glazed look in her eyes whenever he was around. She had loved him so much, but he had only ever been gruff and distant to me.